Good morning to everyone that's tuning in today. Welcome back to Two Dudes, One Jar. Today we are going to be picking out of the jar and seeing what our viewers are asking us today.
It's about 9/11. So, Chandler, give me your thoughts on 9/11, your thoughts and opinions, and any theories on it too, or do you think, obviously it was bad, but what are your thoughts on it?
All right, as many people know, around the whole entire world, 9/11 was not a good thing. Thousands of American and many other immigrants died during this tragedy. Due to Al-Qaeda crashing into the Twin Towers. It wasn't a good thing. It hurt many Americans, and still we feel the effect today, even though it has been 21 years since that incident. Honestly, it's a very sensitive topic. Like, even for people that weren't born then or around then, they didn't actually get to feel it or watch it. It's just, I mean, it's painful.
I agree.
And I don't know how someone or something can just physically do that or have, like, the thoughts to be able to push themselves to kill that many people and do those actions. I mean, I understand, yes, their leader, and they did do it for their God, but I just still don't see how they could think that their God would feel that is a good thing to do. I mean, any God that would wish that much death and pain across thousands and millions of people is a good person. But yeah, and especially with 9/11, there is actually many conspiracy theories. A lot of them can be quite reasonable, and others are just that I don't even know why people think of them.
I mean, there's like the projector one. There's like where they, you know, the projector one where it's like,
yeah,
they think that there was like these projectors and they screened out across like the city or whatever, and you think that it was like the plane didn't actually fly into it, but it was like the explosions that were planted inside the tower.
Yeah, so today, with even today's electronics and capabilities, we probably still wouldn't be able to do that, so I don't know why people think that they could do that back then, 21 years ago.
No.
And, yeah, there's others that think, like, the CIA was a part of it and tried to take out the World Trade Towers. And others that the president planned on doing it, and that was just to go to war and just for oil. I mean,
the whole Bush did it thing.
Yeah, I mean, thinking that Bush did it, I mean, there are signs that show that he could have been a part of it and had that thought. But I really do doubt that conspiracy theory would be true.
Like, we learned in Contempt, remember in Contempt, we watched those two movies or whatever, like, episodes, and, like, one was, like, on George Bush's side,
yeah,
and then the other was, like, against George Bush and saying how he did nothing,
yeah,
or, like, there was maybe even conspiracy theories behind it that he was, you know, the one who planned it all.
Because, yeah,
like, people saying, like, oh, like, while he was reading to the kids, he's like, look at his reaction, he doesn't care, or whatever.
Yeah.
So, which obviously I think that I don't think he should have, like, gone up, jumped up, and started, like, freaking out or whatever, and getting everybody together and, you know, going in front of the whole kids.
Yeah, what he did, staying calm, was actually a really good thing.
Yeah. Which I think was a good move. And what I think is, like, it really, 9/11 was, like, obviously terrible disaster, like, our biggest attack that was on us, and we still have, you know, memorials to it, and we have, like, a day to remember those people, and especially the people that crashed, like, what was it, the third plane? Which also was a conspiracy theory that never happened, because, like, people didn't see any signs of the plane, but I think it was real, the one that was going to the White House, and the people stepped up. I think that's really, like, you know, heroic. And also, years later, when Osama bin Laden, you know, was terminated, then people found out about it across, you know, the whole, like, I see pictures of it still, like, on TikTok or whatever, and there's just people all coming together, having, you know, red, white, and blue, you know, everything, flags, everything, in Times Square, from the White House, like, all together, just, like, celebrating, and obviously, because we don't like, you know, the guy that did it, that really planned behind it.
Yeah, we don't like that guy.
We don't like that guy. So, gotta honor those people that were brave enough to crash their plane and to save us. And it really helped us realize that we are always in danger and that anything could happen, because that's why we have, like, what, security now, like, top security now in, like, airports, whatever, because we never let any of that, like, that ever happen again.
Yeah. Actually, another interesting fact about 9/11, the actual pilots that Osama bin Laden brought over here to fly the planes, they actually got their schooling to fly near the Silver Springs area, about 2 hours away from here. And when you go down 50 going across, you will actually pass. It's a very small airport. I forget what the name of it is. You will actually pass it. Mm-hmm. You'll see where they actually were taught to fly, which is actually pretty cool, because you expect them to actually come over here and already know how to fly and then go into being a pilot for the company to fly the plane, which honestly is, I'm surprised that the airport where they were taught how to actually fly doesn't have, like, some sort of, like, sign or memorial or anything, like, of where, like, that they were there and all that.
Yeah.
Which is quite sad. But, yeah, especially with those, as you said, the people taking down the one plane in the Pennsylvania field that was heading for the White House, that was actually very heroic. And then, I'm still surprised with the one plane that went into the Pentagon.
Yeah.
That where they struck was quite different. I mean, they struck very low into the building and didn't do too much damage. I honestly would have expected them to come more of like a side route and try to take out more, but I mean, we're lucky that they only took out as much as they did.
I agree with those statements.
All right, after that last topic, we're going to pick out of the jar and go for another question. All right, Luke, next question is, are transgenders biologically acceptable in today's society?
Whew. Well, I mean, there could be a lot of changes, you know, in society, and they are getting more accepted into society, I feel like, because back in the day, even, you know, when it comes to, like, people who are homosexual, lesbian, stuff like that, they were never even accepted into society. Some of them had to fight to have, like, their own rights, and I do believe in our own natural rights. I think everyone should just deserve their own rights, and everyone should have equal rights, and as a human being. And transgenders are, you know, they always get picked on because obviously they are making a switch with their gender, and obviously it's very controversial. I would accept them into our society, but like others, you know, just can't, because they have, like, their own, people have, like, their own standards that can't even accept them, because, you know, you have religion, you have science behind it, you have all of this other stuff that can go into it, but there's just so much to it that it's a very touchy subject, and people have all their own opinions, and I think that we should that everyone should just, you know, accept them who they are and just leave it there. I don't think that they should, transgenders alone should also make it, you know, everything about themselves. And it is very, you gotta give credit to them and a lot of props for them because they have enough courage to do what they feel like doing and they feel like they should, you know, be something else, then they easily change it while some other people may feel that way but don't want to because some people just have more courage than others.
Okay, that was a very good take on that, actually. And since you were doing pretty good in that, I'm going to throw another question at you for that same topic. What do you think causes them to want to change their gender?
There could be a lot of information on that. I don't really dive in deep on that. Mm-hmm. I just think that they have their own natural human rights like everyone else should. And some people accept them, some people don't. And why do they feel the need to change that way? It could be the way that something that they're born. So, I mean, there's research in other topics where people think that, you know, are just born to be in a certain way in their brain of how even they're developed in before they're born or how they're raised. It's just because, like, I don't have the same thoughts as them because everybody is different in their own way. And that everyone is physically, mentally different in their own way. And everybody in their own way is special. And that's what I think about how transgenders are, you know, accepted in our society.
Great take on that. Luke, honestly, I agree with you on, I'd say, about 95% of what you said.
Okay.
Honestly, I find it really cool to, like, actually look, compare, like, someone that is not transgender and someone that is. I'd actually would love to compare, like, how their brain is formed and actually how, like, their brain waves compare as to someone that is not and see, like, are they the same? Or not? And then figure out if they are different and figure out what caused that. What caused, like, that difference in those brain waves and or formation or change? And so we could figure out, like, hey, like, this is what is causing a lot of what is going on in today. Which, I don't care. People can choose to be transgender, dog, cat, whatever they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to judge because I am myself. I will judge myself. But there's a lot of people today that will judge.
Mm-hmm.
And most of it is due to politics and or religion. And which today, in society, it is acceptable for them.
It is.
And which actually I find is a great thing because there's a lot of people that when they are not accepted, they aren't happy and may cause many bad things to happen to themselves and or others.
It's not good.
Yeah, it's not good at all. All right.
Okay, I think we covered enough on that last topic. I think that was really good. So now we're going to pick out our next question. So, Chandler, what are our risk of nuclear war? Are they, like, very high, low, between the middle? What do we think?
So,
with, like, the whole Russian and Ukraine thing going on right now, which is probably the biggest thing that could create a spark into that nuclear war.
All right, so, from watching the many news networks and looking at the different, like, percentages of what is happening, from the start of the war, the risk of actual nuclear war was around 2.5% to 5% actually occurring during this Ukraine and Russian war. With now, since Putin is getting very scared because he is losing many troops and land, the risk of actual nuclear war has jumped up to around about 25 to 35% chance of happening. I feel like increase if anyone else joins his war, which I do happen to have people I talk to right now stationed out in Romania for the U.S. military. I speak to, and how the war is looking, Russia is planning on going into Poland.
Yeah.
And they are very close to taking over Kiev. And if they take over Kiev, since Ukraine has actually joined NATO, and since Poland's also in NATO, it will cause NATO's actions to be enforced, causing a war with over many and multiple countries to join this. Which is looking like it will most likely happen. Since where the U.S. base in Romania is actually located 45 minutes by helicopter from the actual battlefront, there has actually been Russian jets flying around within 15 minutes from that actual base, and there's U.S. troops and Canadian troops stationed out there.
Mm-hmm.
And doing those actions is actually causing us and Canada to worry, especially since there's no reason for Russian troops to even be out 30 minutes away from the battlefront, especially towards Romania, which is absolutely opposite of where the war is going on right now.
Did you hear about Russia, that they gained like new territories in Ukraine? And I also talked about in my current event for, you know, contempt, that, you know, that Iran sent, like, their own troops to Russia to help them.
Iran sent actual, like, troops and weaponry over there, which, I mean, they are not part of NATO, which is kind of a good thing, because they are not a good country. And they have the right to send troops over there. I mean, we've sent over $500 billion to Ukraine.
Right.
And we have so many troops stationed out in Europe around Ukraine. So people are worried about Syria sending troops over there to help Russia, but basically we are doing the exact same, but just not actually sending them to the front. We are giving them money's worth.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just basically supplying them with the same exact stuff as if we did give them weaponry and or troops.
Do you agree that, like, Putin is just on this mindset that, like, he just wants to go back to, like, where things used to be back in, like, the old days, like, you know, World War II or whatever, and he just wants to conquer and, like, have this own, like, he wants to bring back, well, this is what I think Mr. C said, that he wants to bring back, the whole, like, what was it, the
Soviet Union,
yeah, I don't know how you forget about that, but the whole Soviet Union, like, army together again.
I mean, I find that actually to be 100% true. The way he's actually controlled his country for the multiple years, I mean, especially with corruption, it's just coming back to the Soviet Union. I mean, people don't have, like, any way of speech. You cannot speak at all back then against anyone. And he doesn't have, like, the Gestapo, as they did back then. And it's the same exact thing. It basically already is the Soviet Union. It is. And it's just, and people that have not, like, actually said, like, that it is not already the Soviet Union, I don't know what is going through their minds, honestly. If you just compare everything he has done and how he is running the country and how he's, like, already transformed many things, and you compare it to how the actual Soviet Union was run back then, it is almost identical. I mean, yes, there are a little more radical stuff that was going on in the Soviet Union than there is right now in Russia, but it might as well be called the Soviet Union at this point. The only thing which I see is doing, and that's why he wanted Ukraine, he sees Ukraine as, like, a part of Russia. And Ukraine has always been a part of Russia. And that's why he's trying to take it back over, because he finds it as part of his motherland.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if somehow he did fully capture Ukraine and brought it back to Russian territory, he will definitely go for the stans, like Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, and all the stans down underneath southern Russia. And if he was to go for that territory, he will be finally confirmed actually trying to build the Soviet Union, since those would be the exact countries which were conquered and held by the Soviet Union back then.
Did you even see that, like even soldiers from Russia don't even want to do it because they think it's, like, unnecessary to conquer Ukraine, or they don't want to. And there's also, like, some videos that I think there were, like, war crimes committed. Like, tanks were, like, running over, like, I think it was, like, a civilian in a car. Did you see that clip?
Yeah, I have seen that, and I have heard about that.
You don't really see any, you can't really see anything graphic, but obviously it's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, in every war, yes, there's the Geneva Prisoner of War Convention and all that, and you can't use so much and do so many war crimes nowadays, but it all that does is just tell them and lay out a rule. Every war that's been fought within, I believe, since Korea, there's been war crimes. There's always been war crimes.
Right.
Because when World War II was hidden, they still had the laws written down, but there's been so much that's been changed since then. I mean, yes, Hitler did hang innocent civilians around towns and Jews, but there's always been war crimes. I mean, especially with the last one against ISIS, there was war crimes. Multiple. Many. Trust me, I've seen many videos of the crimes. And in Vietnam, there was, trust me, multiple, many. There was people getting burned alive. There was people getting tortured.
And fire wasn't allowed to use, right?
It can be allowed to use as long... It was allowed to use actually back then in Vietnam, but okay. After that, once they figured out that actually were, like, most of the battles were fought in the jungle, they got rid of that. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stupid rules nowadays, like, especially now, since you can't use hollow points, which are meant to actually kill people. You can only use regular target rounds, which all that's going to do is just hurt someone more and allow them to sit in pain more than if you just were allowed to use actual hollow points. But you can't, like, change that, because we're trying to make war the game of literally no rules and just death. We're trying to change that and make it fair and a peaceful game, which will never happen.
Yeah. And also, Russia has, like, the most amount of, like, nuclear warheads.
Yeah, they have, I believe, 800 to 900 more nuclear warheads than us.
I think it was 600, maybe.
May have been. But that doesn't change anything, because if they were to act, they're not going to use all, say, 8,000, 9,000 warheads they have, or 6,000, I believe. They're not going to use them all, because if they were, the whole world would be gone.
Right.
I mean,
that's a lot.
Their one biggest warhead could take out more than the country of Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if they were to do, it would just take out people in their own country and many others, which would just lead out to a whole out crisis, which I believe Putin won't do. If he is going to actually use a nuclear warhead, it would be a much smaller one where it would only, like, affect just Ukraine, and maybe the radiation gases from the wind would blow towards someone else's country, but it wouldn't affect them in any I won't say harsh, but any terrible way. It would be just as Chernobyl went off again, to which only in the area of Chernobyl was affected, but people actually over in, like, Sweden and Switzerland were feeling the effects because the winds were blowing the radiation towards them.
And, like, effects are still there at Chernobyl to this day.
Yeah, the effects radiation are still there, but you can actually still go there now. Yeah. The only part of actual like Chernobyl that you can't go into is, I believe there's one wooded part that is still highly radioactive, and the actual like reactor.
Mm. Do you think if this like whole Russia-Ukraine thing still, you know, just escalates like from years and years and years, we will definitely be in more risk of being in nuclear war?
Oh, absolutely. Honestly, it's how it's looking. We will most likely, I feel like, go to war within the next year. especially since Biden's kind of hyped up the draft a little bit lately. It looks like, especially since he's cut down the military costing a little bit, he's seeing if we do go to war, we will be a lot very needy of troops and supplies out there, so he might have to reenact the draft, which has not been used since, oh lord, Vietnam.
Yeah.
And honestly, the best thing is if we do actually go to war and he does reenact the draft, the best thing to do if you feel like you're going to get drafted is just enlist, because you can actually pick your path you want to go. So if you don't want to go to the front line, that is what you do.
Gotcha.
After that topic, we are going to end it on that note.
Hope you all enjoyed, and we'll answer more of your questions next time on
Two Dudes, One Jar.